We are here at the Kibenda Tea Estate in Limuru in Kiambu County in the Republic of Kenya. And today we are talking about the looting of African artifacts by Western powers. It was theft on an industrial scale, and one need only visit the museums in different parts of Europe to understand how extensive the looting was. It started in earnest, initially through the invasions. When the Portuguese came, they were not only taking human beings, but they were taking artifacts. And they took those artifacts from almost all their colonies. It is now recorded that although they have not admitted it, the Portuguese looted from Guinea-Bissau, they looted from Angola, they looted from Mozambique, and one need only visit several museums in Lisbon in Portugal to appreciate the extent of the looting. But the biggest of the looters were the British. The British started looting the artifacts of different African countries. They did so in Ghana. They went to the great Ashanti Kingdom and took some of their most important royal artifacts. And of course, they did not stop there. In the 1800s, when they invaded the Kingdom of Benin, they took the famous bronze bust of Benin, which are still to be found in the British museums. They did not stop there. They went to Egypt and took the great Rosetta Stone, which helps us to understand how the Egyptian language could be translated in latter-day time. And they went down in Ethiopia and took the tablets. The tablets are very significant to the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. And up till now, the British have been unable to concede that they did, and they can't even display them because they are considered to be sacred. And the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, of course, has been demanding that the tablets be returned. In Uganda, they also took a lot of things from the royal houses of the Baganda and the royal houses of the Bunyoro Kitara. And they went to Nigeria and also took artifacts from different parts of that world. The British, of course, are admittedly the biggest holders of looted artifacts. And as early as 1902, British Museum Act of that year, they said that the stolen artifacts should not be returned to the countries where they were stolen. And it is sad that as recently as 1963, the 1902 Museum Act was repealed and replaced with the Museum Act of 1963. And once again, it says that you shall not return the artifacts. We now know, of course, that some of the looted artifacts were taken to museums in the United States of America. And I'm happy to report that in the month of February, the year 2024, the American Museum returned some of the artifacts to Ghana. The other big looter of artifacts were the Germans. The Germans did this looting in the Cameroons, and they took thousands of artifacts from the Cameroons and, of course, transported them to Germany, as they did also in Namibia, where they took major artifacts after having decimated the Herero and, of course, the Nama communities. And it is instructive to note that in the month of May, the year 2022, they returned some of the artifacts to Namibia. The major looter that we also don't talk about are the French. And the French did this in different parts of their former colonies. Major artifacts were taken from what is present-day Cote d'Ivoire, what is Senegal, and taken to different museums. And a visit to La Louvre in Paris will tell you what was done by the French. And they were not the only ones. The Belgians were also present. You know, when King Leopold II of Belgium took over and created what was called the Congo Free State, which was his personal possession, he did not only treat it as his personal possession in terms of possessing the flora and the fauna, but also the arts that had been made by the peoples of that land. And we know that in many museums in Brussels, there are quite a number of artifacts which have been kept there and are being held by these governments of Europe. The question therefore is, why are artifacts so important to these countries and why were they looted? It is now known that is for economic reasons. The reason why the British cannot allow the artifacts that they stole to be taken back to the countries where they belong is because they are major attractions, and they are attractions that generate a lot of wealth to their institutions, and therefore they do not want to let them go. The argument that African countries are incapable of taking care of these artifacts, of course, is a lame one. It is not for the thief to tell the person from whom they stole how they are going to use their ware. But they have the cheek, they have the audacity, they have the gumption to tell African countries, we are not going to return this. It is instructive that many African countries are now saying that as a part of reparation, one of the things that we want done is the return of these artifacts. And African governments and African countries, which are the immediate successors of the kingdoms from which these are looted, are actually making great effort in terms of a very choreographed approach to ensure that these artifacts are returned. We are aware, as I've already indicated, what the Nigerian governments have done with what was stolen from Benin, and some of them, of course, are being returned. Some of them are being loaned on the understanding that ultimately they will be taken back to where they were taken. In Zimbabwe, there was also massive looting. There is the famous thing called the Zimbabwean bird, which was taken by the British. And this bird is very significant to the Zimbabwean peoples, and it is one that is being detained, I think, in the British Museum, and one hopes that it will ultimately be returned. The other one that is important is, of course, there is a linkage between the economic value of the looted items and the touristic value. Many of these cities attract the visitors that they have essentially because they have these artifacts. And because they have these artifacts, the visitors that would have come, for example, to Egypt, do not visit Egypt because they go to the British Museum. And the question that we must ask ourselves, therefore, when we are talking about these looted items, is what is the long-term approach to having them come back? Not in piecemeal, as we have seen the Germans do, not in piecemeal, as we have seen the Americans do with the looted items that found themselves in the United States of America, not in the lukewarm approach that we have seen the Portuguese approach in terms of not even acknowledging whether the artifacts are in the museums in Lisbon or in different parts of Portugal, not in the arrogant style of the British, who even refuse to admit that they have critical and important artifacts that were stolen from Ethiopia, not in the reluctant manner that we see the Belgians approaching this issue, but in a manner that acknowledges that these things did not belong to them. Country by country approach is what is happening now. But those of us who believe that these were artifacts that belong to the continent of Africa hold the view that there should be an approach which is underwritten by organizations such as the United Nations and even the African Union, where demands are made that these artifacts be not only returned, but some value be attached to the period that they were displayed, whether it was in London or in Paris or Brussels or Berlin or Bonn or whichever of the museums, for purposes of ensuring that when the artifacts are brought back to the continent of Africa, we create an environment where they can be kept in a manner that will be preserved for posterity. For example, if you look at the items that were returned by the Americans to the Ashanti Kingdom, and when Osei Tutu, who is the Ashanti hen, was receiving them, he said, "Our soul has returned. Our soul has been restored back to us." And these things are so significant artifacts are not only an outward image of what the people are, but is an expression of their creativity and innovation. It is in that regard that we must see the Benin bronze. When we come to the Rosetta Stone, which was stolen from Egypt, we want to understand as a people where civilization started, and we are saying that writing started with hieroglyphics, and the Rosetta Stone is what is going to open that door. Why do they still hold it? These are the arguments that we want put forth, so that when we are engaging the British Museum, we are telling them, you are not loaning us the Rosetta Stone, you are restoring to us that which you stole. And of course, when we come to the tablets, perhaps people do not know what the tablets are. The tablets are very significant to the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. It is considered that it's in the tablets that God lives on earth. That is the Ark of the Covenant, which was the covenant between the God and the people of faith, and the Ethiopians, particularly the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, which is the custodian of this particular ark, have always requested that the British admit. Remember, as regard the tablets, the British have never admitted that they even hold them, but it is known that they do hold them, and that they took them in 1868 after the famous or infamous battle at Makdala. And that in itself is critical for purposes of restoring the spirituality of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. Another artifact that is worthy of note as we talk about artifacts is the bust of Queen Nefertiti. Queen Nefertiti was a great queen during the pharaonic ages, and it's important that bust is restored because it has a lot to do with the civilization of that period and reinforcing the fact that there was indeed black civilization in that part of the world before its Arabization and Islamization. When we come to the Namibians, we know that the Germans are a little reticent. Remember that the Germans were looters during the period when they were holders of power before the World War II. When they lost the First World War, most of their territories were then handed over to the British of the Southwest Africa, which is now Namibia, who became a trust territory of the British. What is now Rwanda and Burundi was given to the Belgians. Of course, Cameroon was given to the French, and Dahomey, which is now Benin, was also given to the French. But they have admitted to their credit that they stole things. And as I've already indicated, in the month of May, in the year 2022, they did surrender some of the items. But we know that what they stole is in the neighborhood of 40,000 artifacts. And these are estimates, so that if you are to calculate the value of the artifacts that were taken from different parts of the continent of Africa, some of them undocumented, it would be in trillions of United States dollars, which sometimes we are quick to use as a measure, but it would be in trillions. In a nutshell, a lot was stolen from the continent of Africa. It was stolen and is residing in museums across Europe, Western Europe, and the time is now that Western Europe must admit that we were thieves. And because we were thieves, we have repented and we are returning those items to their true owners. When they do that, then we can begin to relate with them from a position of genuine friendship. The subject of artifacts stolen from the continent of Africa is a huge subject. It cannot be covered in a small capsule. And the time will come when we will interrogate the subject in its full splendor, that the world may understand what pain was visited upon the continent. Goodbye. See you again.